So, good evening, everybody. The passage I want to look at this evening is found in the Gospel of Mark, and we're reading from chapter 4, verse 35 to the end in verse 41. It's a very famous scripture. It's one of Jesus' most famous miracles, and it is the remarkable text where Jesus calms the great storm on the lake. So it's Mark 4, 35 to 41. It reads, "On that day, when evening was come, he says to them, 'Let us go over to the other side.' And having sent away the crowd, they take with them as he was in the ship, but other ships also were with him. And there comes a violent gust of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it is already filled. And he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. And they awake him up, and say to him, 'Teacher, dost thou not care that we are perishing?' And awaking up, he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, 'Silence, be mute.' And the wind fell, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are ye thus fearful? How is it ye have not faith?' And they feared with great fear, and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" It's amazing recently, isn't it? You know, I'm sure if you've watched the news recently or you've been scrolling through your social media, you'll see there's constant fear being rammed down our throats. We're living in a very, very fearful world. There's fears of losing money and poverty. There's fears of nuclear war. There's fear, as we know, we've had that phase of disease. And, you know, I often get my family texting me all the time, "Are you worried about this, Rick? Are you worried about that?" And this is this new thing every week. My answer's very simple. No, I don't care much about it at all. Fear, it's a weird thing because it controls you. Bullies use fear at school, don't they, to control others. The government use fear to control people. Look at North Korea, completely controlled. Governments love installing fear in people because it controls people. When people live in fear and they're paranoid, they won't even leave their bed because they're scared. They won't even walk into a certain area because they're scared. And in this passage, we see the disciples, they too are full of fear. Not of any of the things I've mentioned today, but by a great storm. We would call it probably a natural disaster today, which still you hear many people being feared of. But Jesus gives us an answer. He gives us a solution to fear. The solution is faith. That's Jesus' solution, faith. Faith drives away fear. Fear produces doubt. Faith produces hope. These two things they're mutually exclusive. They're not the same. They cannot be the same. They can't live together. They're enemies. They're not friends, these two things. So what I want to do, I want to walk through the text with us. And the question is, do we have fear or do we have faith? Let's look at the text together. Let's look at verses 35 and verse 36. They read, "And on that day, when evening was come, he says to them, 'Let us go over to the other side.' And having sent away the crowd, they take with him them as he was in the ship, But other ships were also with him. Jesus, at this point in the passage, has been teaching all day, for hours. If you go to the start of chapter 4, he begins a whole session on parables, teaching them what the kingdom of God is like. It's been a long day, and we read in the text that it went on until evening, until it was night time. And after his long day's work, as Jesus does, he wants to move on. He wants to continue his ministry of proclaiming the good news, the gospel, to another place. So what does he do? He doesn't go by a car, because they didn't have cars. They don't go by planes, because they didn't have planes. They go by boat. It could be the same boat that they used back in chapter 3, verse 9. And the boat there is described as a little ship. So they're not jumping on the Titanic. It's more like a dinghy. It probably holds about, 13 to 14 people. The boat, it's a small boat. His disciples were fishermen, so it's probably likely a fisherman's boat. It's nothing big. And it's not ideal for this storm that they're about to encounter. I'm pretty sure that they would have been a lot more safer in any other boat than the boat they were in. But the boat's ready to go. It's all set up. What happens in verses 37, verses 8? And there comes a violent gust of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it is already filled. And he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. And they awake him up and say to him, "Teacher, dost thou not care that we are perishing?" Out of nowhere, a storm has rose up. We've got to get this idea that this boat is being battered. Waves are coming over the side. The winds are pushing it left and right. You see, this Sea of Galilee, which is actually a lake, it is the largest body of fresh water in the world. It's huge. It's surrounded by mountains, and it could act almost like a wind trap. These storms could come out of nowhere. And sorry, I don't want to be explaining too much. I will get into things. But I think I'm just trying to help us get a picture that this storm is dangerous. These people are petrified. The boat, probably useless. Jesus, he's in complete contrast really here, isn't he? Compared to the disciples. The disciples are panicking. The disciples don't know what they're doing. Notice as well, it does say at the beginning that there are other boats around them. So they're all probably going wild as well. But Jesus, sleeping away in the middle of a storm. The faith of Jesus is even perfect while he sleeps. And the disciples, full of fear. The question that they asked Jesus, though, "Dost thou care that we are perishing?" That's an extremely offensive question to ask the Saviour of the world. The one who indeed would perish for them. Very offensive. And it's something that I hear from the world a lot today. Maybe even questions you have about Jesus. Does he care? Does he care about my life? Does he care about the homeless? Does he care about the widow? Of course he cares. He went to the cross because he cared. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He cares that much that he died on a cross for you. That's how much he cares. You could never say Jesus wasn't compassionate. He was indeed the most compassionate man that ever lived and ever will live. Because he was perfect, which means his love was perfect. His love was pure. Of course he cares that the world is perishing. Every day, day by day, people are perishing. But there is hope. If you have faith in Jesus, do you have fear? Or do you have faith? I'm not going to lie to you. You know, when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that all of the problems in life are going to be washed away. There'll be storms coming. There will be storms. People may suffer, like Job and Paul. People may lose money and jobs and maybe even friends and family along the way. But you can ride through the storm with faith in Jesus. You can ride through the problems, the difficulty, because the faith in Jesus drives away the fear of the world. Jesus, in his miracles, doesn't just show us his power, although we can see here that he is indeed very powerful, but we also see in his miracles his compassion. And I think that we see that here too. But yeah, Jesus is, as I said, he is indeed very powerful, isn't he? When it says, be silent, be mute, what it literally means is be muzzled. You know, imagine, the only way I can describe it is imagine a vicious dog coming to rip your face off. And all of a sudden, muzzled. A dog ain't doing nothing. Sit there, wind it up and slapping it on the head if you want. It's muzzled. That's the raw power over nature that Jesus has in the storm. That he can say to the wind, to the great storm, be silent, be mute. Does exactly what he says. But notice afterwards, the disciples' fear changes, doesn't it? They no longer actually fearing the winds and the storm no more. Their fear is now of Jesus. Their fear now is Jesus. Look at the verse 41. It's quite astonishing, really. And they feared with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Their attention, their fear is now diverted from the storm to the Lord. I know I've been talking quite negatively about fear, but I think it's also important to mention that there is a good fear. There is a healthy fear that we should have. And it's not a fear of the world. It's not a fear of man. It's not a fear of the devil. It's a fear of God. That's a good fear to have. It's a fear that comes from respect and a fear that comes from love. Like a child when they've been naughty and they fear their parents, it's a good thing. They need to know that that's a good, healthy, loving fear. I wish I was a bit more fearful of my dad when I was growing up. I wouldn't have been such a rascal, but you know, Jesus does actually say in Matthew 10:28 that they should fear God. He says, actually, it's quite serious. He says, and do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But fear rather him who is able to kill the body. Both soul and body in hell. Basically, don't fear man, fear God. You know, all of the fears and worries that people have these days, only if they feared God. That should be their biggest worry, is that judgment time is approaching. The world is coming to an end. Only if they were worried about those things. That's why my answer is simply, no, I'm not worried. Because I know the ending. I know the certain and true ending. And that ending is going to be good and sweet for believers, but not sweet for those who have not trusted and placed their faith in Jesus. We don't preach the gospel here every week because we think it's a good idea or something nice that we should be doing. We believe it's concrete truth. And we believe that people need to repent of their sins, place their trust in God, live in life and in obedience and faith to Him. Walk with your God in fear and trembling. We believe that wholeheartedly. And every time you come here each Sunday, that's the message you're going to hear. Please get used to it if you're going to come every Sunday, because it's not going to stop until the Lord returns. Because we fear. We don't fear the world, we fear Him. And we have faith. We don't have no faith in the world. Bunch of idiots. But we have faith in God. The world, it will chew you up, chuck you around, spit you out, like you're a piece of chewing gum. But the Lord, He'll lead you safely home. Nothing good out there. It's the storm. Peaceful in here though, isn't it? It's His faith. Jesus is indeed very powerful, but He is indeed very compassionate. You know, I think the question that one of the disciples are questioning among themselves, they say, who then is this man that even the winds and the sea obey Him? It's a wonderful question. It's one of the greatest questions you could actually ask in the whole of your life. Who is this man? And what I've been trying to do to you, to do for you tonight, is show you who this man is. We know that this man is powerful. He can control the winds and the seas and the storms. Therefore, we know that this man is the God man. Not 50-50. He's not half man, half God. He's 100% man and 100% God. 100% both. There's no 50-50s. There's no dual kind of half this and half that. We also got a glimpse of His humanity too. We know that according to His human nature, He was tired. We see that today too. We see that He is the God-man, Jesus. We also see today that He does care that people are perishing. That He does care about people who are going to leave this world without hope. He indeed does care. He cares for every person in this room today. And honestly, if you can be like the disciples and ask that question, who is this man? Who is this man? I can guarantee you, you're going to be amazed by this man. He's very, very good. Never a man like it. Never will be a man like it. The thing is, the warning that I would say, if that storm would have been petrifying, if there isn't faith in Jesus, His return, it's going to be more than a storm. There isn't going to be no, oh, but I did this, I did that. You will shut your mouth, and the Lord will tell you exactly what you've done. And the only way that you can be saved is by placing your faith in His Son. He is the Lord of nature. He wants to be the Lord of your life. I can't do much more tonight. I really can't. I hope that you understand this passage better. But most importantly, I hope you understand the Lord Jesus better. And I please hope you understand the need to have repentance and faith in the Lord of all, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name that is above every name. Amen. Don't fear the world. Fear Him. Don't have faith in the world. Have faith in Him. It's a long road. Maybe short if the Lord Jesus comes back tomorrow. But we don't want to get to the end of our life, do we? And what have I done? I've wasted it. I want to get to the end of our life and say, I did what I could for the Lord. I would rather live with faith and hope than die without it. If you're scared of the world, please just don't even worry. Worry about your soul. Worry about the Lord. Fear Him. Amen.